Okay, I want to talk to you today about defeat and how important it is to be honest when it happens. Let's go ahead and pray. And Father, I ask for all my sisters in Christ that they are humble enough to hear what I have to say. Know that I love them and that I'm telling them the truth because it's. I also ask for a sense of urgency. I ask you to put fire underneath them. to get them to wake up and see they need to listen because the time is short, and that the deceptions and slothfulness that they're engaging in is going to cost them insurmountably when your hand starts to move upon this country, and that they need to wake up, come out of their sleep. They need to get serious, get to work, die to self. I ask for you to really put that sense of fear and urgency inside of them so that they'll start to hear what your servant has to say to them and repent and start bearing fruit and get nice and covered and tucked away for the sake of themselves and their children for the season that's ahead here in the United States. Ask all these crazy son in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the first scripture that we're going to take a look at is Romans chapter 6, verse 3. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ," were baptized, is important, baptized into his death. All right? It's a salvation issue, and I'm going to talk about this in a minute here, okay? "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness in life. Okay, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, okay, we shall be also in the likeness of his what? Resurrection. Okay, I'm hitting this hard because the number one reason, sisters in Christ, you are losing and getting the brakes beat off of you by Satan is because you're alive. You're connected to him, meaning Satan in your flesh. Again, this is Romans chapter 7. We'll start at verse 23. Let's do verse 21. It says, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin," which is in my members, your life, you are your worst enemy. You are evil, scripture says. Okay, Jesus says, if you being evil, he calls us evil, we are evil. This is the basis of the death and resurrection and judgment through Jesus Christ and salvation. Jesus Christ took on the death we deserve. Why? Because we're evil. 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 Get that through your head. Okay? Why am I so upset? Because the church is playing the whore with the world and Satan and false teaching and not turning to the blood and death and resurrection and life and power and what? Victory through Christ Jesus in the Bible. Some smooth talking, slick preacher shows up with some nice and fancy words. The Holy Ghost within you is saying, "You be faithful to who? Me, Bride of Christ, me. You turn to my Bible, my KJV Bible. And the bridegroom, Christ Jesus, and you don't listen to that homewrecker of a false teacher. You stay with me." Scripture says that the spirit within you lusteth to envy. This is the book of James. He doesn't like it. You're his. You're his possession, bought through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You're his, church. You belong to him. He's jealous for you. You knock it off. You're playing the whore with the world. And when I say the world, I mean the false teaching, the smooth talking, the Christ is this, Christ is that. Okay? Your life is going to be easy. He wants to give you everything that your wicked flesh desires. Rather than getting with him in that grave and saying, "No, Christ Jesus, I love you. You died for me, I die for you. Death. Jealousy, as strong as the grave, the book of Song of Solomon says. Okay? Jealousy, as strong as the grave. You're his. He's not fake. Okay? Christ Jesus is a man. A God-man. Okay? He's not fake. You don't play the whore with the world and then come and pretend like you're with them. You're not. He'll tell you. Okay? Through the Spirit, right to your face. You're not with me. He'll forgive you. He's full of mercy, but you need to quit lying to yourself and playing the whore with the world. Okay? I'm hitting the hard scriptures. Why am I hitting the hard scriptures? Because these are the scriptures that are going to give you life and power through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Full of the Holy Ghost to completely destroy everything that stands in your way. I'm talking about destruction of Satan in your home. Ripping you apart. Breaking your heart. Trampling upon your kids. Stomping on them. Knock it off and get with him. Why? Because you're alive. He did this to me. That happened to me. This is me, 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 me. Kill it. Kill it. You want to understand the wrath of God? You look at the cross. You see what Christ went through. And if you are full of the Holy Spirit, you will put your flesh through the same thing spiritually. You don't abuse yourself, obviously, okay, carnally. But spiritually, you'll be just as brutal with yourself. The commandment will come, just like it says here in the book of Romans, that is good and righteous. He said, yes, I want to do that. Then your wicked, ugly, disgusting flesh will rise up in rebellion to God, and you'll slay it and kill it and stomp on it because you'll hate it. That's judgment. That's how the law is fulfilled through you, like he says. Not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law. That's how the law is fulfilled through you, through Christ Jesus. When you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, you see that that flesh is God's enemy. And the same way that he dispensed justice and judgment upon it on the cross through Christ Jesus, meaning the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will dispense the same justice and judgment upon your own flesh and kill it and slay it and cast it far from you and put it so down beneath your feet that it better not think of rising up again. I'm talking about yourself. You, your very life. You need to die. Okay? That's the gospel. Now you'll sit there and say to yourself, well, this is hard. This is works. This is not loving. This is, I don't like the way that this sounds. This is the Bible. This is the Bible. He's talking about you, the resurrection of Christ. How else are you getting to heaven? What's your plan? How do you feel? It's a joke. I hear it every day. All the time. The church lying to themselves. They don't like when the word comes, the real thing. They say, well, no, that can't be right because of A, B, C, and D. And then I think to myself through the power of the Holy Spirit, because I know nothing. It's him that teaches me. And he looks at that. He said, would you want to do that? Would you want to set your soul, your very soul, your salvation and eternal life on something you're just not certain about? Meaning the lies that the church cleaves to when the word of God comes and it's quick and it's sharp. Like the book of Hebrews says. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Okay? Divided between soul and spirit. Powerful and strong and quick. Good. And then they say, that's not in agreement with my flesh. I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't know. Because this guy over here that I went to church with the other day, that podcast that I listened to, that website that I read said something that makes me feel a little more comfortable. Okay. Right. It's a little easier to my palate, a little more comfortable to my tongue. Let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at this. This is Revelation chapter 10. This is the book of John. The Apostle John. Okay, this is Revelation chapter 10, verse 8. And it says, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Ooh. This is the book of Daniel, chapter 8, starting at verse 25. It says, and through his policy, speaking of the Antichrist, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and shall magnify himself in the heart, and by peace shall destroy many. By peace. And then again, we have here, this is Daniel chapter 11. Again, talking about the end here, okay? It says, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and flame and by captivity and spoil many days, meaning persecuted, okay? Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Okay? Smooth talking. You see how wicked you are? Receive it, because it's the truth of the gospel. You shall know the truth, and it shall set you free. Okay? And then again, this is Psalm 85, verse 10. It says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That's the truth of the gospel. Okay? All right? That's the truth of the gospel. You are honest. Honest. Again, truth. Okay? And then you meet your mercy. All right? I am wrong. Okay? He tells you you're wicked. You go, yes, I am wicked. Okay? I lost. Why? Because I didn't do what you said. It's not his fault. It's not her fault. It's not their fault. It's not this. It's not that. It's me. Me. Truth. Truth. It's me. Why? Because I'm guaranteed victory in every last fight through Christ Jesus. How can I lose? Unless I did something wrong. Me. Me. I did it. And I'm sorry. Defeat is important. You don't want it. You don't want it. It's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. But when you find yourself in it, start being honest. Why? It's dangerous to lie to yourself. Okay, if truth and mercy meet, what happens with lies and self-deception? Ask yourself that. God knows. Listen, sisters in Christ, I love you, okay? And I'm full of anger. Why? Because the Holy Spirit within me is angry, okay? Because Satan is just ripping the church apart. And it's because of this. They like lies. They like big fancy books and sound effects. I can't even, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you see how just foolish this stuff is. What's that? Okay? You see what the church is listening to, and it's full of a whole bunch of computer graphics, and you're going, what in the world? What? Is the Holy Ghost not enough for you, creator of heaven and earth? Okay? Who can transform your life and grant you the desires of your heart? Is that not enough for you? You need a bunch of lust? Okay? With big, fancy, just junk. Okay? It's a bunch of lust. The lust of the eyes and this and that. With the, you know, you listen, you see what people are into, and it's like, oh, big sound effects. Ooh, big, fancy movie. Big, fancy this. Big, fancy book. Big, fancy church. Yeah, the spirit within you lusts at the envy. He's angry about that because you're playing the whore. All right? You're playing the whore. You're looking at Satan, and yes, it's Satan. Okay? And you're going, ooh, I've got everything I need with the Holy Ghost right here. And I could sit with him and hear the truth of the gospel and be transformed. okay? Or I can go and listen to a bunch of that just seductive and sexy stuff. Look at that. You got women that are, you know. Those are my kids in the background. Okay? You know, who are virgins and the biggest whores in the world. It's amazing. They've never, you know, been with a man, but they're all caught up in all this disgusting, fleshy, flashy, worldly. Just, it's like, honestly, when you're full of the spirit, it's like pornography. You're like, that is just an obscene display of lust. And the church is going after it. And then as they're going after it, they are rendered powerless and blind, which is righteous. God is righteous for doing that, because you're not supposed to be doing that. It's wrong. Okay? If a woman's married to a king, okay, has everything she needs, and she's out there running the streets, yeah, she should be rendered powerless and blind. Okay? It's judgment. It's righteous. You don't do that. That's wrong. That's the scriptures. That, again, is the book of the law. It says not one jot or one tittle. It'll be fulfilled. Because that's wicked. Read the book of Ezekiel. I think it's at chapter 16. Yeah, it's Ezekiel chapter 16. It says, thou hast played the whore with the Assyrians because thou wast insatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them. Yet thou couldest not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Cana unto the Chaldeans. And thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, and thou that buildest thy eminent place in the head of every way, and maketh thine high places in the street, and hast not been as a harlot, and thou scornest hire, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. That's what all these songs and this music and all this junk, okay, that gets you caught up in your emotions when the Holy Spirit is saying, don't sit there and feel sorry for yourself, okay? Confess that you are wrong and destroy yourself, kill yourself, slay yourself, but then the word comes, that conviction comes, and you turn on some nice, smooth preaching. That just makes you feel happy. That's nice. He doesn't want you happy. He wants you sad because you sinned. This is Joel, okay, chapter 2, verse 12. It says, Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. You're supposed to be sad, okay? You sinned, okay? He's your God. He told you to do something. You didn't obey him. You messed everything up. You're supposed to be sad. Okay? It says, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn to me, the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness. Okay? And repenteth him of the evil. All right? That's the way to go. But see, when you don't do that, and you see, it's just, it's like this, okay? 1 + 1 = 2. It's not that complicated, okay? All right? But you're sitting there trying to stick 1 + 5 in there and still trying to get 2. And do it again and again and again and again, and you're still not getting the number 2. Okay? Mercy. Mourning. Okay? Truth. Okay? Truth. Mercy. Okay? Honesty. But you're taking out the truth, you're taking out the mourning, and you're putting in there lies and idols. And you're still trying to get number 2. It's not going to work. That's not the way. It's a lie. It's a deception. It hurts when you lost, especially when you see. You see, if you would just admit it sooner on, it wouldn't get worse. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Okay, if you would see the defeat coming early on and receive the truth of the gospel, okay, and do just like scripture says and rend your hearts, okay, and say, it was me, I messed up, God help me, I need to die. Oh, nope, it's not them, it's me, it's not him, it's me, it's not her, it's me, it's not there, it's me. Okay, okay, okay. And fight, then early on things wouldn't get so bad. But you keep staying in that place of deception. God's, and people say this, I've heard this so many times, I want to just work with the Lord, I don't want to hear anybody, don't tell me anything. Okay, I've got my Bible, I've got the Holy Ghost, I don't trust man. Well, I got news for you. This is the Holy Ghost. Fear, church, fear. When I say this, fear God and give, you say, not supposed to fear. Well, there we go. Okay, Book of Revelation. Fear God and give glory to Him. Book of Acts. The early church walked in what? The fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Fear God. Because what I'm going to say is true. You better hear it. You better hear it. I'm telling you, church, the days are coming. This is going to be the difference between life and death for you in this life. Okay? Either you lay your life down. Let me explain something to you, okay? You are saved by grace. Let me explain to you how grace works. If he says all these scriptures, think for a second logically, okay? Put your thinking cap on here and hear what I got to say. If all these scriptures are in the Bible and Jesus himself says not one jot or one tittle shall perish from the law, okay? Book of Romans, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Okay? You have all these warnings, parable of the talents, right? What does he say to the one, okay, that buries his talents? He says, cast him out where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. What do you think that is? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, the five foolish virgins, again. Okay, and they were cast out. Okay, you hear these the scriptures where God, the Jesus Christ, your Savior, the one you're calling upon in his name, you better hear what he's saying if you're calling upon his name and believing in Christ Jesus. All these scriptures where he gives you a parable and he says, this happens, the person didn't listen. Okay, they don't do what God says. Okay, that's what all these parables are about. And what? Cast out into what? Utter darkness. Cast out into what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. What do you think he's talking about? He says, bring them hither, okay? My enemies that would not that I should rule over them and slay them before me. Who is that talking? Who is that talking? I'm going to read it, okay? Because unfortunately, these are the scriptures that the church are not familiar with. They're familiar with all these nice scriptures. They can quote them, all those comfy, cozy ones. But the ones that cut down to the soul, just like scripture says, okay, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit, okay? All of these scriptures, okay, are the ones that they avoid. So I'm going to quote it and I'm going to cite it so you can hear it, okay? This is Luke chapter 19. It says, starting at verse 22, it says, and he saith unto him, let's start up here. Verse 20, it says, and another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is my pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. For thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he saith unto them that stood by, take from him the pounds, and give it unto him that hath 10 pounds. And they saith unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath, this is so scary, you need to listen to this, okay? For every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that, this is dangerous, please listen to what I'm saying, okay? This scripture I'm reading right now is so important, okay? Again, verse 26, for I saith unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Who is Christ talking about? Ask yourself that. Is he just talking about some random king? I don't think so. He's coming to rule and reign, okay? Ask yourself, who is that king he's referring to? And think about it, okay? What am I trying to do? I'm trying to put the fear of God inside of you so that when the word comes, you will hear it, receive it, and bear fruit. And that verse where he says, even which he has shall be taken away from him. You have to understand something about God. He talks and he warns. He talks and he warns. And then if you ignore him and ignore him and ignore him, he gets quiet. I've seen it myself. I've watched it firsthand happen. He gets quiet and then you don't hear anything. And then, what? You're saved by grace, church. He starts working rather than from within you, outside of you. Why? Well, if every word of God shall be fulfilled and all these warnings are in the Bible and you're not doing them, well, something's got to change, doesn't it? Something's going to change. And if you won't do it with him, through you, he will be quiet. Diminish. Okay? You hear this in the scriptures. You can be full of the Holy Ghost. Okay? You can be full of him. But what's the opposite of full? Right? Okay? He remains there within you, but at a very small measure. Just enough for your salvation. But you're not hearing him anymore. He's quiet. Because he's a God. He is the God. He is the only God. Okay? You can't keep disrespecting him and ignoring him and playing the whore. He won't profane himself. So in order to show you mercy, so you still go to heaven, this is what grace means, church. He withdraws himself and becomes quiet. And you don't hear much anymore. Other things start showing up. What did he say? Lead us not into temptation. What happened to Ahab? Okay, the book at the end of the first book of Kings. Okay. What is he going to do with the whole world? He's going to send them a strong delusion. Okay, so he says, all right, you don't want to hear me? Go. Go. Listen to your lovers, listen to your deceptions now. I'm not going to fight with you anymore. Go. And so let's see what happens in the book of Ezekiel chapter 16. Okay. After she's there playing the harlot, going after all of her lovers. Okay. And it says, this is verse 38, and I will judge thee as a woman that breaketh wedlock and shed blood, are judged, and I will give thee blood in thy fury and jealousy, and I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thy eminent places, and shall break down thy high places, and they shall strip thee, and also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and shall leave thee naked and bare. I've seen this happen. And they shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones and thrust thee through with swords. What this looks like in the flesh is you lose it all. All of your lies and all of your deceptions turn upon you, and you're there, bare and naked, and then you die. That's grace, church. His word will be fulfilled. Okay? Amos says, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. You go through a nightmare. I'm telling you, church, I've seen it firsthand. You go through a nightmare. A nightmare. A nightmare. Okay? Where you do die to self, but it's not the way that it should have been. That's much easier. Okay? The way that you want to do it. Okay? You die to self, and this is where you see people. Okay, where they repent, but you look at them and you go, oh my gosh. You don't want to fall under that category, and this is going to happen on mass levels in the United States. The time is coming where judgment is going to be dispensed upon this country. If you have eyes to see, you can see it in the weather. He has warned and he has warned and he has warned. But his warnings don't go on forever. A time of judgment is approaching. Okay, like birth pains has already started to come in small measures, but it's going to get worse. Okay? And these words that I'm sharing with you, I can rest easy on a rock. I'm so grateful. Because I know that, unfortunately, there's going to be sisters that are going to, turn it off. I don't want to hear all that. What's that? I don't need to listen to that. There's sisters that will listen, and they will repent, and it'll bear fruit, and praise God. And there's ones that won't, okay? But I can rest rock solid on the truth of the gospel, okay? That these words, by the power of God, that he is using me to give to you, will prove themselves. They will prove themselves. Because a time of judgment is approaching. And judgment must first begin at the house of God. And there are Christians who are deceived, thinking they're going to be fine, that their relationship with the Lord is good, and they're dead wrong. Dead wrong. And again, okay, I'm going to say this one more time. Because I know there's going to be ladies that are going to listen to me, and they're going to fear, and they're going to get themselves in the will of God, and they're going to repent. They're going to cast down idols. They're going to get rid of stuff. And I'm so glad to hear that. And I know there's women that are not going to hear me. I'm going to say, I don't want to hear that. So I'm going to talk to you, woman, okay, that doesn't want to hear me. I'm going to talk directly to you, the one that's ready to turn this off, okay, or maybe listen to the rest of it, see if she can get something else, but ignore this because she doesn't like it. When this happens to you, because it will, okay, it will happen. All right, remember me. All right, remember me. I'm here. All right? I'll tell you that you're wrong. I want you to give me a call. I want you to text me when you're going through a nightmare. A nightmare. Okay? I want you to call me. I want you to text me. I want you to repent and go to heaven. All right? Because I love you and I want to see your face in eternity with me forever. And I'm telling you this because I've seen what that situation looks like, and you are compassed about by Satan, and it's really hard to get out of. Really hard. Because it's not the carnal situation that you end up in that's so bad. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And that's why I'm talking directly to you, because you're the one that's the most dangerous. You're truly going to be a lost sheep out there in a place of real difficulty spiritually, real danger. The ones that repent, great. They're in the sheepfold. That's wonderful. That's what I want to hear. But the one that's out there in the darkness, which is where you're going to be, okay? Remember me, okay? It's Mrs. Rawls, 216-307-SLAY. Dragon Slayer Ministries. Remember me. Okay? Because I don't want to lose you. It's going to be hard, and Satan's going to lie to you, and he's going to try and destroy your faith. Because if you don't have faith, okay, in the one true Jesus Christ, he's going to do one of two things, which I'll talk about later. But he's going to try and destroy your faith so you just don't believe at all. Because everything's going crashing down, and that's a pillar in your soul. That's deep. And when it comes crashing down, you really believe that God gave it to you, you're going to question him himself. Probably even be in a place of blaspheming God. Okay? A place of real danger, spiritually. Or, worse off, okay, because at least there you know you've lost your faith and it's easier to repent. Or, worst off, a counterfeit Christ is going to show up. Okay, something similar to the Antichrist, when God is judging the world to get them to repent, and the Antichrist shows up with smooth talking and says, no, go this way, take my mark, I'll give you heaven on earth. One of that one of those spirits is going to show up to you and try and lead you off to a deception, which is even worse. Okay? And fix everything and make it better. Okay? So that you don't truly repent. And make it look like, all right, the whole thing was just some sort of deception, and that you just need to put your faith over here. And it'll be a counterfeit Christ, not the real one. And that's even worse, okay? Because that'll take you to hell. I'm here. Remember me. Call me. Talk to me, okay? And I'm saying this because if you truly are a Christian, okay? excuse me. Like it says here in Romans chapter 8, where it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Okay? If you truly are one of these, okay, Christians, you're going to go through this process. You have to, okay? He's going to be sanctified in your eyes, okay? Meaning that he's God, okay? You're going to obey him, okay? All right? And you will die to self. And these scriptures, like I read earlier, okay, about if we are joined together with him in his death, we'll be joined again with him in his resurrection. So it's going to happen, okay? All these scriptures, and this is why I'm saying this, is because what happens is when a person finds themselves in that case, okay, where everything comes crashing down, okay, it's these scriptures that they've been running away from, okay? Again, the ones that I've been going over, parable of the talents, okay, which is cast them out where he's weeping and gnashing teeth. Unforgiveness, okay? All these hard warnings, them who he called, okay? He says, many are called, right? But few are what? Chosen, okay? All of these hard scriptures, okay, where it talks about reprobation, okay? And falling away and crucifying Christ afresh, okay? All these scriptures, and this is why you need to just really, okay, I want to stay focused, but you need to be afraid, okay? You need to fear God and give glory to him. Because these are the scriptures that you do not find, okay, on your daily desktop, okay, Bible notifications, all right? You have to be so guarded in this place and understand that it's extremely dangerous, because your mind, when you're in that place, is flooded with all the nice scriptures that the church is comfortable with, okay? But it's not filled with the other scriptures, okay? The whole true word of God, where it talks about hell, okay? It talks about being a castaway, okay? Paul himself, this is 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse 27, okay? He says, "I myself bring my body under subjection, lest after, above myself, and bring it under subjection, lest after preaching, lest I myself become a castaway." He's saying himself. Okay, this is an apostle, the apostle, okay? Out of all of them, he wrote most of the New Testament. He himself fears becoming a castaway. When Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like, where a man catches, you know, a net full of fish, and the good he takes, and the bad he throws away. Okay, all these scriptures that you filter through your Bible and you kind of avoid, or they come at you, you go, don't do that, because those are the ones that are going to come after you. Okay, those are the ones that are going to be fulfilled in your life. Those are the ones you need to listen to. And those are the ones that when you're in a situation like that, okay, everything comes crashing down, okay, that you need to take a look at and you need to see. And that's why I want you to call me, because I'm going to show you God loves you. He's taking you to heaven in spite of yourself. He's not a liar. All of his words will come to pass, and that's all that's happening right now when you're in that situation. Okay? Is the scriptures that are hard to listen to, the scriptures that make you cringe, the scriptures that you don't embrace with your whole heart and say, "Yes, God, let me take a look at these are the ones I need to listen to." Okay? All those scriptures will be fulfilled in your life. Okay? They will come to pass. Either gently, okay, in your prayer closet with the Holy Spirit every day dying to self, or by force to take you to heaven. And if they don't get fulfilled in your life, then you are what the Bible calls a castaway. Okay? You don't fit into the last group of the parable of the sower. You either fall into the first, second, or third. And I got news for you. First, second, third groups in the parable of the sower do not go to heaven. They start off, but they don't finish. It's only the fourth group that bears fruit. Okay? So he's putting you in that fourth group. And that's why I want you to call me. Because Satan will be around you, lying to you, and trying to take you to hell and deceive you. Okay? That's why I'm saying call me, because I will talk to you. And I will take you step by step and explain to you, no, listen, you were just wrong. That's it. That's it. Just wrong. Repent and come home. That's it. God is just being exactly who he always said he would be in his word. That's it. He's just doing exactly what he told you he would do. That's it. Don't lie to yourself. Don't get deceived. Come home. Come here. Come home and receive the truth. Okay? And turn and change. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 11 says, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, everything, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. He's going to try all your works, meaning everything you've got in this life, church, everything you've got here. He's going to try it by fire. Okay? If any man's work abide, which he shall hath built, thereupon he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And then again, know ye not that you need to hear these scriptures. If you feel afraid right now, and I'm talking to you, and you're hearing my words, and you get nervous, receive it. Receive it. Don't run from it. Don't push it down. Don't ignore it. Receive it. If you feel nervous inside, that's the Holy Ghost trying to get you pulled and tucked into the body of Christ, the real body of Christ. Okay, his death and resurrection, trying to get you nice and tucked away and safe and hidden in Christ for what? The fire that's going to come across this country. Fire. Judgments. It's coming. Again, I say it is coming, church. Be nervous. Okay? You don't think Noah was nervous as he prepared his ark, knowing what was coming, seeing what was coming? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are. You need to listen to those words. You will either die to self, okay, in your prayer closet every day, obeying the Lord, doing what he's telling you to do, okay, bearing the fruit he wants you to bear, or you will die to self that way. It's one or the other. You have to. You have to be baptized into his death. That's the scripture I just read to you in Romans. You have to be baptized into his death so you may share in his resurrection. This life is relevant in a way, but not nearly as important as eternity. You have to get that straight first. And if you're in a place of deception where you're thinking to yourself, I'm in the will of God, I'm good, he's pleased with me, and you're wrong. And you're wrong because you are not listening to him, and he has been talking to you, but now he's gotten quiet because you keep ignoring him. Well, you're going to meet your God, O Israel. He's going to be dispensed upon this country in the form of judgment, and you're going to meet the real true God, the one that you didn't want to hear. You're going to meet him. my goal and my hope is that you don't go through that, because I've seen it happen and it's hard to watch. And I've seen it. People barely making it through. Barely making it through with their lives. Okay? So I'm talking to you today about defeat. If you're in a place of defeat and you have lost, okay, don't lie to yourself and continue the same habits anymore. Okay? Start hearing the truth of the gospel. Start turning in the... Okay? You need to start dying to self, getting tucked away and hidden in Christ. Okay? And when you find yourself in a place of defeat, okay, where everything has gone wrong, your life is not looking the way you knew it would and can through Christ. Why? Because you didn't do what you're supposed to when you were supposed to. You receive that truth, and then you move forward. Don't sit there and lie to yourself and stay in that same place anymore, okay? When you're in a place of defeat, see that you are wrong. Weep and mourn, and start seeking after God, and die. Die. And turn in the other direction. Repent. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. He's coming. Right? He's going to gather his into the barn, okay? You don't want to be out there, okay, burned with the chaff, which you will if you're still flesh. That's scripture. You need to be dead. Okay? And what death looks like is the very thing that you don't want to do, okay? Because there's so many lies. Christians lie to themselves. When they say, I'm dead, because look over there, I'm doing that. I'm dead. But there's this pillar, okay, inside of your soul, okay, that's you. And that's the thing that the Lord is trying to get you to slay. That's the one thing deep inside your soul you don't want to do. Don't want, nope, can't do that. That's where your death, okay? That's where your death remains. That's where it is. Don't lie to yourself and look upon this and look upon that. Okay, let me put it this way. You can lie to yourself. I pray to God you don't, but you're going to start finding the truth. Okay? Because he's coming. Try every man's work, that it may be revealed by fire. And you can have that pillar in your life and then stick a whole bunch of Jesus stickers on it. Okay? And lie to yourself, and it's going to be revealed by fire and burn. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to come crashing down like the house on sand. That pillar that you're standing upon, gone. Gone. And praise God. Praise God. Okay? You might find yourself in that group of crucifying Christ afresh, like it talks about in the book of Hebrews, but at least you'll go to heaven. At least you'll hear. At least you'll repent. Okay? And your soul, like the scripture says, will be saved, but as by fire. Okay? It's that pillar inside of you, that one thing you don't want to do, that is in rebellion to God. That's what needs to get slayed. It's the stuff that nobody else sees, but you know it's there. That's what you need to kill and destroy. Okay? And you're finding yourself in a place of defeat because you didn't. You let it stand there. So now's the time. Knock that pillar over. Kill it, destroy it, and slay it. Die and go do what you're supposed to do. The opportunity may not be there right away, but be ready for when it shows up again, so that it can be shown that it's dead. Be looking. Be seeking. Don't lie to yourself. There's two ways you can go when you find yourself in a place of defeat. And you're looking at your life. Your kids are a mess. Your life's a mess. Your home's a wreck. Okay? You lost. You weren't supposed to. You could have won that fight. If you had died, he would have removed mountains for you, dispensed justice for you, set things right for you, if he looked down upon you and saw his son. You would have suffered, you would have died, you would have been persecuted, you would have gone through a trial, but you would have won. You would have, boom, popped out, standing upon it in absolute victory and power. But you didn't. You lost. You were wrong. Take it. Receive it. Change. You can do it even by faith. If you're hearing this right now and you're having a hard time because you've got so much pride because you've been feeding it all this time being disobedient, say, God Almighty, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Save me from my pride. Save me from my lies. Save me from my self-deception. Help me to see how things are not okay. Because the problem is, you lie to yourself enough, okay? It's just like that verse says, him that hath, even that shall be taken away. Hath not, even that shall be taken away. Even your ability to see, you lose it. And it really looks like you are okay. And you're not. You're not okay. But it'll look like that. Okay? And that's when he's got to move from without you and bring you to your knees, okay, to where finally you're ready and willing to hear the truth and get changed. I'm asking you not to go that way. I'm asking you to go the other way. Okay? And I just want to, for a brief moment, because I come across this a lot with people when I start to talk to them and try and warn them of the dangers of keeping your life and basically being selfish and not forsaking all for the gospel, okay? The word comes, he says, die, live for me, do what I want, not what you want, right? And the person maintains themselves and doesn't listen, right? And turns away and says, no, me first, okay? And it's amazing because you see people like this and they're always struggling with the Lord, trying to get something from him, okay? Get their marriage fixed, get healing, okay? Get financial stability and all this other stuff, okay? But they're so selfish and caught up in themselves, you're not going to get it from him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and then his righteousness, then these things will be added unto you. They're struggling maintaining their own life and trying to war with the Lord and get what they need, and it's not going to happen. Okay? It's not going to happen. But I want to talk to you about this response that I hear often, okay, where they quote scripture. Sorry, I mean to laugh, but you need to have a realistic, you need to come out, okay, and die to self and read the Bible for what it is. They quote scriptures like, I will never leave you nor forsake you, okay? The Lord's not going to abandon me, okay? You have to understand something, all right? This deception and self-justification, okay, and self-deception is extremely dangerous. Let me explain to you why. This is what happens, okay? These people who are quoting these scriptures, the Hebrews, okay, book of Hebrews, these people are dying, okay? Being a Christian was like a death sentence for them. They're being persecuted and comforted by the Holy Spirit with these scriptures, okay? You take a look at the whole Bible, okay, and how he's writing to them and talking about them and their tribulation and their suffering, okay? You have churches like Corinthians, okay, or he's rebuking them. But for the most part, these scriptures, you got to take them in context. These people are facing death as they choose to be a Christian. And you've got Christians who are fat. And when I say fat, look in the book. Okay, look at what Moses says. He says, Jeshua, and you have waxed fat, meaning that you're full of flesh, you're selfish, carnal, worldly, me, me, me. Fat, okay? And worldly, they're saying, well, he'll never leave me and forsake me. Now, let me explain to you why this thinking is dangerous. He'll never abandon me. These things won't happen to me. I'm going to be okay. Well, you're wrong. They will happen. And what happens is, okay, when he comes down with judgment and he severs the things that are of your life, just like I already explained, then the person is in a dangerous place spiritually. And this is why understanding defeat is so important. And admitting that you're wrong and repenting in truth and severing like a knife your own life from yourself and being honest and getting on the straight path. Because then that person that is worldly and carnal and fleshy and completely selfish, maintaining their own life, when he severs these things because he's righteous and just, that person does feel abandoned and they're wrong. but they're in a dangerous place of falling away because there's all types of demons around them saying, well, if he loves you, why is this going on? And they'll quote those scriptures right to you, right in your ear. I've seen it firsthand, following them around. Well, look at you. You've been abandoned. Look at you. What's going on? Look at, you're struggling. Look, you don't have what you thought you would have. Not knowing that the Lord is not abandoning you. He's saving your soul, setting you right. Okay? Giving you the true gospel, putting you in the right place. He's not abandoning you, but your mind is so fat and worldly and carnal that you'll believe these demons and you can fall away from the faith. Because you received a lie rather than the truth. It's dangerous. And then don't be deceived. You have to understand, church. Okay? The time is approaching. You're going to start seeing the spirit of Antichrist climb all around you and all over you. This is what happens in the end. He's judging them in the book of Revelation. Repent. Judging them. Repent. And what do the people do? It says that they repented not of all their sin. Okay? Apostle John is watching this, you know, prophetically, and he's judging them and dealing with them and dealing with them. You're on the way to hell. Here is a preview of what's coming for all eternity. Repent, repent. Receive the gospel. Receive the truth. And they, and he says it again, but they repented not. And he lists all the things, okay, of worshiping these idols, of doing this and doing that. They repented not. And what happens? There comes a smooth-talking Antichrist saying, me, me, I'll save you. From what? From God. I'll save you. Take my mark. You'll be okay. Join my team. And they believe it and they go with him. And the same thing happens with Christians. They're in that place where they didn't receive the truth and they're deceived. And they think that they can just live their own life and everything's going to be okay, that the scriptures are not true. And then when he does come down and sever those things that are not of him, the Christians out there, lost and confused, because they won't receive the love of the truth. No, it's me. I was wrong. I should have, your kingdom first, your God, not me. I'm sorry, Lord. And get on the straight path. No, they sit there and think, well, this was it. I was supposed to have this. I don't have it. He abandoned me. Okay? And they can fall away from the faith. I mean, I've seen Christians in that state where their faith is shaken at the roots because it was in the wrong thing. It's in this world. It's in themselves. It's in what they want, not the truth of the gospel. Okay? And then, it's like a 1-2 combination because all these demons are around them, lying to them. Okay? Trying to make them fall away from the faith. And then, on top of that, you got the spirit of Antichrist deceiving them. Well, it wasn't the real God. This is the real one. You need to go back to this church. You need to turn to this. Okay? Trying to turn them on to a false gospel. Okay? That will deceive them and think that the judgment that they're facing and the things that they're going through is evil. I've seen this happen. They think, well, that's not God. That must be the devil. Because it's so bad and it hurts. Okay? Not knowing that they're dead wrong. They need to repent. And just receive the truth that they were wrong. They were wrong. Okay? Okay, so that's it. Let's just go ahead and finish up with a prayer. Father, I just ask for any sister that's listening to this and has found herself in a place of defeat that she sees it for what it is, doesn't run from it, doesn't lie to herself, just takes it wholeheartedly, receives it so she can repent and change and become a brand new sister in Christ and move forward. Okay, not backwards, just receiving what she needs to take and just really taking it, and so that she just moves forward. Moves forward brand new. Ask all these prayers, you Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.